Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 and 11, where we read as follows these words of our Lord Jesus. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. I walk with angels all the way. They shield me and befriend me. All Satan's power is held at bay when heavenly hosts attend me. They are my sure defense. All fear and sorrow hence, unharmed by foes, do what they may. I walk with angels all the way. One of the most influential Lutheran theologians of the 20th century was a man by the name of Rudolf Bultmann. Bultmann became famous for advocating, here's a fancy term for you, the demythologizing of the Holy Scriptures. What is demythologizing, you ask? Well, Bultmann, along with most modern theologians, assumed that the Bible contains myths that cannot be taken literally by us today. Ancient peoples lived in a world inhabited by angels and demons because they didn't understand what we know from modern science. They attributed what they didn't understand to the agency of spirits. Accidents and diseases were said to be caused by demons. When things went well, it was because angels were protecting the people. This pre-scientific view was perfectly fine for then and there, but it won't do for the church of the 20th century. We must reinterpret the Bible, Bultmann insisted. We must extract from it its mythical elements, because people today just won't buy into a Christianity laden with incredible myths. Well, you can imagine what happened when folks started demythologizing the Bible. Before you knew it, all of the supernatural features were gone. Gone was the atoning sacrifice for sin. Gone was the bodily resurrection from the dead. Who can believe such things anymore? Everything miraculous was stripped away. The demythologizing of the Bible was nothing but a wholesale rejection of biblical teaching. Bultmann wasn't as smart as he thought he was, but then Bible doubters rarely are. Modern science cannot disprove the existence of angels. The fact that people don't believe in something is no evidence that it doesn't exist. We do live in a world inhabited by good and evil spirits. They surround us every day. It may be true that in times past, people ignorantly ascribed to the agency of angels and demons things that had a perfectly natural explanation. But if people in times past were ignorant concerning angels, our generation is the most ignorant of them all. Nowadays, angels are invariably pictured as sweet, pretty, and relatively harmless creatures. In the Bible, angels appear as men, but never as women or children. Today, angels are usually pictured as women or children. If the popular view of angels reflects popular piety, it's safe to assume that for most people today, religion is ornamental and primarily intended for women and children, which is one reason why you don't see too many men in church these days. But the biblical view of angels is very different. The Bible portrays angels as fearsome creatures. After Adam and Eve sinned and were expelled from the Garden of Eden, God sent angels with fiery swords to keep them away from the Tree of Life. When Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, mocked the true God and went to war against Jerusalem, God sent one angel who destroyed his entire army. Sennacherib had to go home in disgrace. when an angel appeared to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem to announce the birth of Jesus Christ, they were struck with fear. Biblical angels are not pretty and harmless. They strike fear. When Zechariah called into question the angel's testimony concerning the birth of his son John, here's what St. Luke records happened. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And as we know, Zacharias remained mute until John was born. The word angel means messenger. God has frequently communicated through angels. He announced the conception, birth, and resurrection of Christ through angels. Angels are spirits. They have no bodies. Angels are not human, and human beings don't become angels when they die. Sometimes angels appear as men. Sometimes, as in visions, angels appear with wings. While the Bible pictures angels in a variety of ways, strictly speaking, angels are invisible. They serve God and God's people. They speak for God. They act on behalf of God. They are powerful. And according to our Lord, the children do have guardian angels. Little ones are not just those who are young in years. It includes all who are like little children, who are little in their own estimation, who hold with the faith of a child to the promises of God. They have angels, and their angels behold, they see, they look upon the face of God the Father. Jesus said so. Jesus cannot speak falsely or mislead us. Jesus places great value on children and on their faith. When he warns against offending them or causing them to sin, he's warning against putting their faith in jeopardy. What does this mean? It means depriving those baptized in Jesus' name of God's word by which they may grow and be strengthened in their faith. This can cause them to fall away from their baptismal faith. It refers also to teaching false doctrine that could confuse the little ones and replace the true faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in their hearts with a counterfeit faith that brings death instead of life. God values the little children. He proved it by becoming one of them. The devil opposed the incarnation of the Son of God. He resented the creation of man. This is why he led Adam and Eve into sin. He wanted glory for himself. While the angels of God rejoiced in God's creation of man and woman in his own image, Satan and his demons despised the human race from the very beginning. The war in heaven that led to the casting out of Satan was waged by Michael, the archangel. Michael is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The cosmic battle between God and the devil, between good and evil, between Christ and the accuser of his people, began at the beginning of time. And the decisive victory was won on Calvary, where Jesus, the seed of the woman, crushed the lying head of the old evil foe, the devil, the murderer of souls, the slanderer of God's people, the father of all lies, heresies, and false teachings. Rudolf Bultmann was a fool, and he's joined by millions of other nominal Christians who foolishly think that the world that is measurable by scientific measurements is the only world in which we live. We live surrounded by good and evil, by spirits devoted to the good and spirits devoted to the evil, by angels and demons. This is not the mythical world of our ignorant and superstitious ancestors. This is the real world. It's a world in which the battle over souls is waged every single day. The angels served our Lord Jesus in his battle against the devil. There was not a time during Christ's life of holy service and his sacrificial death that the heavenly angels did not attend him and bear him up and strengthen him. These are the angels who serve those who believe in Jesus, who trust in his victory over the devil, who look to him as their only mediator before God's throne of justice in heaven. The value of children is seen in the fact that God became a little baby. He became one of us, a child, a boy, a man. He offered his life up to the penal justice of God as the sacrifice of atonement to buy back the children who had been led into sin and death. Christ's incarnation and vicarious atonement tell us the value of children. Children don't exist for the entertainment of their parents. God doesn't give us children so that we may live through them, but children are blessings that God gives us and that we give back to Him. Fewer and fewer children are being born these days. Fewer people are getting married, and they're not having children. Abortion on demand is the settled law of the land. Children are regarded as rather inconvenient and expensive commodities. Parents hire others to raise and educate their children, and the so-called experts on child rearing often teach children precisely the opposite of that humility in which a child enters into the kingdom of God. Surely we live at a time when children are despised. Yet Jesus says that if you would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you must be converted and become like a little child. They are small and unimportant. This is how we come to know God. We must become small and unimportant. God will avenge His children. Murdering abortionists is wrong, not just because it's taking the law into your own hands and going against established government authority. It's worse than that. It's an act of unbelief, assuming that God won't avenge the little children. He will. He will arise and judge those who slaughtered the little ones for profit, and He will always be the refuge of forgiveness for those who have wronged the little children and have come to repent of their sin. "Let the little children come to Me," says Jesus. Christians baptize babies. They don't abort them. And they bring them to Jesus not just when they are baptized, but throughout their lives. In so doing, they walk with angels. Little children of every age need a Savior. After warning us not to despise the little children, Jesus appeals to the fact that He came to save those who were lost. He's serious about this. Ultimately, everything He orders His angels to do is for this purpose, to bring sinners to repentance and faith. Now, at the heart of this faith is the crucifixion of Jesus for our sins. We look at Him dying for us, and we believe that God freely forgives us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Since Jesus has lived and died for us, we believe that He has won forgiveness and salvation for us, and that He gives us this forgiveness in His holy word. This we believe. And in believing this, we live as well on every single word that God speaks. We don't despise the faith of our fathers and God's promise to send angels to protect us. In fact, we rely on God every day to bless our efforts and to send His invisible servants, His angels, to shield us from harm. And when we gather together to praise our God, to receive from Him the heavenly treasures He offers us in His gospel and sacraments, we're joined in fellowship with the angels. The church sings the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 with the angels in heaven. As Christians go to the altar to eat and to drink the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, the angels are ascending and descending, for there is the gateway to heaven. There Jacob's dream is fulfilled as the God become man comes to us and forgives us, embraces us, and guarantees us victory over all evil. We walk with angels, and so we walk with Jesus, and what a wonderful walk that is. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by the congregations of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We'd like to invite you to attend the services of our parish. This parish of three Christian congregations still teaches what we taught 50, 100 years ago. We don't believe God's teaching changes with the time. So we hold to the Scriptures as the inerrant Word of God and the Luther's Small Catechism as a correct exposition of the Holy Scriptures. Our congregations are First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Divine Service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Divine Service Sunday morning at 9:30. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Divine Service Sunday morning at 11:30. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.